And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, who is now not muted. I'm your host, Zach Dobb. This is your RBLR Race podcast. My co-host today joining off the bench, Carter Brantley. Thank you for coming in, bro. Excited to talk some ball with you today.
Hell yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate y'all having me on. Definitely excited to talk about some Rays baseball. You know, it's not super exciting time. The last week was a bit rough, but hey, it's still if it's baseball season, it's still a good season. So, you know, no matter the result.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like I'm in such a mellow mood after that Rays Tropicana Blues we just heard to start the show. Despite how unfortunate the last week was, the season is not over, and there's still a lot of Rays baseball to talk about. And if you're here with us talking Rays baseball, thank you for joining us. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. We appreciate you coming along. Just stay for as long as you'd like the whole show, even if you're so inclined. We're going to talk some Rays baseball. We're going to talk about the week that was. We're going to talk about potentially some stuff that's going to happen in 2025, what may the roster look like. We got bat and arm, as always. And, of course, we're going to keep talking about the playoff picture. If you're joining us again after having seen us before, we appreciate you coming back. If you do us a huge favor and hit that like and subscribe, it just really helps us to know that you guys appreciate what we're doing, and it helps you to get access to the show if we're going live, if we're doing anything else, which you never know, we might pull out. Do us a huge favor and do that like and subscribe, and do yourself a huge favor by following as well on all the socials so you see when we're doing that kind of stuff. We appreciate everybody who's joining us, even through a little bit of a rough patch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a rough patch, but that doesn't mean that it's shouldn't be liking and subscribing. You know what I mean? You know, it's definitely a good time to be a Rays fan because hey, the stadium proposal just got announced. There's good things always going on. You know, even if the team's not necessarily playing well, there's always some good stuff in the peripherals. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, super excited.
What is, you weren't on the show when we talked about the stadium. I'd love to get your thoughts. How do you feel about the stadium announcements that just happened last week?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to have it, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, the Stevie Wonder thing. You know, as long as it's official, and it's official now, you know, no more anxieties about it, you know, getting shot down randomly, unexpectedly, because, you know, anything could happen. It's weird. So it was nice to see it, you know, get the official stamp of approval by everyone. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to get some shovel in the ground. I don't know the terminology or anything, but yeah, super excited to see how it all plays out. I understand this is from my mom, so please forgive me if this is completely ignorant, but I understand they're probably going to build some parking structures first or something, take care of that business. So that'll be nice because I still go to the games. Like me and my family all go to the games as much as we can. So, you know, hopefully we're not getting, you know, getting a little bit of an uncomfortable situation with the stadium getting built in the parking lot, you know. So I'm pretty excited to see how it all plays out, though.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting as well. And when we talk about this a little bit more later when we discuss 2025, mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting to see how the existence and now construction of a new stadium and the sort of longevity that's kind of been locked in now with having that stadium deal done affects things like payroll going into the future, affects things like long-term contracts. I'm just curious to see what we might see going into next season. Because one of the things that we've lamented often is that we don't know that players are around for the long haul. We've talked about it with jerseys. I am wearing a jersey right now of a player that not only no longer plays for the Rays, but plays for one of our division rivals and is going to retire soon. That's Kevin Kiermaier. Or he did play for one of our division rivals. And so as a fan, it can be frustrating to have that feeling. I am curious to see now that this is going to be locked in, we're going to be in Tampa for the long haul. Is there any chance that maybe this changes the modus operandi a little bit? There's a little more money gets infused into the roster going forward. We're going to talk about it. We talk about 2025 roster. But before that, we had some baseball that was played this last week. And we're going to start on a happy note, which was the end of the Houston series, which was a series win, a 1-0 finish to a tough series on the road in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, that Houston series was brutal. It was grit and grind type of games. I mean, it's Houston's, unfortunately, as much as I despise them, they're a really good team. You know, they've got a really good lineup, solid pitching staff. They really know what they're doing. They go out and execute. That front office is obviously really, really good at what they do. They're one of the best in baseball. So, yeah, it was great to see them eke out that little 1-0 victory at the end of the week. Alexander looked great, which, you know, that's a very welcome sight for sure. That Houston series, playing Houston's always going to be brutal, and they're playing them, I believe, this upcoming week too, but this time it'll be
starting tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be a lot of fun too, especially because, I mean, you know, that AL West's race is kind of back and forth between them and Seattle. So Houston could very well end up being kind of a wild card team that the Rays potentially compete with at the end of the year. So racking up these wins against them, you know, it's kind of just trying to make it more difficult for one of the competitors in that wild card race. So that's always going to be a good thing for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, when you talk about Alexander, I think it's a really good point to talk about that he played well, mostly because I was shocked at the point of the game in which he came in. He came in bottom of the first, bases loaded, two outs. Yep. And I was like, no. Grand Slam City.
Right.
Three pitch strikeout. And absolutely, we're off to the races. And Alexander throws up 4 1/3. 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. And Rays pitching overall for the day, 9 innings pitched, 3 hits, 3 walks, 12 strikeouts, no runs allowed. On the road, the only run we needed was provided by Brandon Lau to get us to with a double to get us the one run that we needed. That's not, you know, that's not going to win us a whole lot of games winning that way, but it's always good to see that you do have the arms in the, you know, in the pen that can do that. You had Biggie to start it out. You then had Alexander, Uceda, Rodriguez, who has been really, really good. M-Rod has had is since coming back up, has been really strong. And then Fairbanks to close it out. So that started off our week really, really strongly. Any other thoughts on the Houston series overall?
I think we covered all the bases, no pun intended, but yeah.
Cool. Well, that's going to be the end of the fun. Cause now we're going to talk about St. Louis. And that just a series where a very unexpected, you know, and this bleeds into Houston too. The starting pitching let the Rays down big time in the St. Louis series. Even in the game that we won, still too many runs given up by starting pitching. Were you shocked to see if you were going to say we're going to lose a series, how shocking is it to you to look back and say the reason we lost that series was because our starting pitching let us down?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the, of all of the things that could have gone wrong, it's probably the lowest on the, you know, concern meter, so to speak. You know, the starting pitching has just been phenomenal this year. It always is with the Rays. So to see them go out and struggle like that was really, really tough. I know St. Louis has been kind of on an interesting path this year. They've got a weird lineup. Like it's kind of full of older guys like Goldschmidt and Arenado, but they've also got some young dudes like Mason Wynn. We were talking about before the show. He's a great shortstop, and he's starting to figure things out at the plate too. So that's really fun to see for St. Louis. But it was kind of a weird series. It was very strange to see the starting pitching staff struggle like that, especially because, you know, St. Louis, I don't really think of as necessarily being a powerhouse this year, but, you know, they can put a decent series together. You know, baseball, and anyone can win a 3-game series, including the Cardinals. It was a tough series to watch for sure, especially from the starting pitching perspective. But the offense was kind of fun, so that was kind of nice to see. They put up some interesting games. So, you know, there's things to take from it that are good for sure. So not necessarily all negative.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was just really good to see them get that last game, because it would have been vibes abysmal if you get swept on the road. Because the Rays had won 12 out of the last 13 series before this Cardinals series. So really seemed like moving in the right direction, or hadn't lost, excuse me. They tied a couple of 4-game series and a 2-game series, but they only lost one of their last 13. Well, now they've lost this one, and we're going to get to Baltimore in a minute. But that would have really killed it to have, you know, gone all the way and got swept. I think that would have really just absolutely eviscerated the vibes. But thankfully, the offense came in late to provide some run support and kind of, you know, dig us out of that hole. Despite the fact that, as you were saying, four earned runs allowed or more by every starting pitcher of the Rays during the St. Louis series. That's just not what we come to expect with Rays baseball. And it's I talked about this a lot at the beginning of the season. When you see performance that is not what you're looking for, if I'm going to panic, it's because it's an area where I said this could be a problem. It becomes a problem. Now I'm panicking. If I go and see, hey, we performed suboptimally in this series, what was the reason? Starting pitching was bad. Starting pitching has not been the problem this year. Since June 18th, we've ranked in the top half of the league in starting pitcher ERA, which ERA is kind of doesn't mean everything, but we've been doing much better as a starting pitching rotation, and we've got high quality arms in the rotation right now with Jeffrey Springs, Zach Littell, Shane Boz. You've got high quality arms, Taj Bradley, and it's also not lost that Pepio has been hurt. So you've been using a lot of bullpen arms as well later in, you know, more than you would need to, because you've had to, you've not been able to rely on Pepio, which hasn't come back to bite the Rays. At least it didn't come back to bite them in this series. You could argue maybe it did in the Baltimore series, but didn't come back to bite them here. But it's not something that I'm going to say, oh, the season's over, because this thing that has been pretty good for us all season and we think is going to be better resulted in us losing a series. If we look through this series and we were holding them under three runs a game, every single game, and we lost, I might say, yeah, it might be a wrap. Because if you're holding them under three runs a game and you're not scoring enough to win, that might be a wrap, because the offense is what we're concerned about right now. We just don't know if the young guys can provide enough, you know, firepower to win games. If that was why we were losing games, I might say that's kind of it, guys. I think this might be it. But if your starting pitch is giving up four runs, that's just not what you expect Rays baseball to do. I don't expect it to continue, but it was unfortunate to see us lose games because of what we perceive as a strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can kind of live with, I don't want to say you can live with, but for me, at least from my thinking, it's like, well, you know, if you lose a game because the hitters didn't hit, like that's kind of a reboundable thing. Like hitters can always, you know, get hot. They can get cold. Yeah. But yeah, the pitching staff, watching them struggle as much as they did, it wasn't super fun. But like you said, it's certainly something that they can bounce back from, especially with Pepio coming back. I'm super excited to see him continue to go back to where he was before he got the unfortunate injury. Cause he's been really, really good this year. I've been very pleased with Ryan Pepio especially. I'm not really super worried, but it was a bummer. You know, it's never fun, because especially now in August, like it's always process over results for sure. But you know, it's starting to come down to the wire and it's starting to become like, well, kind of need some results too. You know, it's kind of coming to that point where it's, you know, there's only, you know, you can't make the playoffs based off of process stats, you know. Look at our BABIP, like our high BABIP numbers, like that's, you know, that should correct itself, but in time, like sure in time, but unfortunately, you know, if you miss the playoffs, that sucks. So hopefully the luck can kind of come back around for the Rays, especially. So, and the pitching staff's going to bounce back, no doubt in my mind. So that'll be really exciting to see.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about Ryan Pepio. This is some housekeeping a little bit before we get into the Baltimore series, because it just popped up. I just saw it popped up with Tyler Alexander getting optioned after the last game. Cole Sulcer was brought up in the immediate to replace him. The sense is that Pepio will take Alexander's spot when that comes up in the rotation. Very, very soon. He pitched 69 pitches in Montgomery, it looks like, on Saturday. So he's, you know, he's already at the trop. So we would hope to see him back in the rotation the next time Alexander would have pitched. So that's good to see. Be really good to see him back. It'll take some stress off the bullpen too, I think. So that's good to see, because starting, you know, the starting pitching is always going to be the strength of this team. When we look forward to 2025, I'm going to keep teasing this segment out a little bit more. When we look forward to 2025, that starting pitching is going to continue to be a strength of this team. So while it's been frustrating to watch the starting pitching recently, I don't think it's going to be a long-term problem. That being said, how are you feeling now that we, going into the Baltimore series, the first two games of that series? Are you disappointed in the Rays' performance at home versus a division rival?
Yeah. I mean, you know, losing two straight to a division rival at home, it's nothing but a disappointment. You know, there's not really a way to spin it in a positive way at this point of the season. You know, you need wins, especially now. And, you know, it's a bummer, you know, especially last night's game, you know, nationally televised, and they fought all the way back. You know, they kind of dug themselves a hole. Rasmussen kind of came out struggling in that first inning, let up some runs. But then Alexander kind of stabilized things. He had another pretty solid outing. It'll be interesting to see how he plays moving forward and into September, maybe with September call-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just watching Poche have a rough inning was really unfortunate. The game also just dragged. I mean, my God, those nationally televised games, the commercial breaks are longer. Mm-hmm. So, that was nasty as hell, too. But, yeah, the Saturday night game was not super fun. You know, they had some chances near the end to maybe make some magic and still make it an interesting game, but just couldn't come up with a big hit. And you know, that's how it be sometimes. That's how the cookie crumbles. So, I think they're down 1-0 right now. I think Santander home run. But Springs looks really good. You know, the one home run to Santander has been mashing this year. So that's, you know, that's how it's going to be sometimes. So, yeah, hopefully they can maybe pull one out today and go into the Houston series a little bit less, you know, worried. But yeah, another series loss isn't super fun, especially against a division rival.
Yeah, and you know that that first game on Friday was the one that to me was the most frustrating, mostly because I'm not the guy normally to say it's the ump's fault and blame the ump's, but top of the fifth inning, two outs, runners on first and third. A 3-2 count. Zach Littell puts a fastball on the corner, strike clear as day, doesn't get called, ends up giving up two more runs. The game's kind of out of reach at that point. It's right. A different ball game. That's a strikeout, and that's the end of that.
For sure.
In the game last night, I'm trying to remember exactly where it was, see if I could find it. There was another like really, really close opportunity where a pitch just went against the Rays. Let's see if I can find where it was. My point is I'm not usually one to blame the refs, but there's been some really egregious calls all weekend. And it's just really frustrating to watch when you see guys making good pitches and not getting rewarded for it. It's really frustrating because to the point where I'm not that upset anymore about the Rays losing this series just because I'm so frustrated with the umpiring, because there was just multiple times where the Rays should have been out of innings, shouldn't have been in the situations they ended up being in. But because of just some like really, really, really bad calls, you're in that situation. I know in the game last night, Poche struck out Jackson Holliday. Four pitches into the at bat, struck him out. I mean, no question, slider right, caught a bunch of plate, should have been strike three, should have been the end of it. It should have only been a one-run homer from Urias, which would have, you know, also ended the inning before Mountcastle singles again and scores another run, which would have resulted in it being a 5-4 game. Then that Jose Siri and them tying it, it would have been a tie game. So, again, you know, we can't all – you know, I'm not usually a blame the refs guy, but that to me was egregious when you have – calls like that. And of course you could bring up calls I'm sure that went against, but like in those critical moments, having those calls that were not like questionable to me, like those were right on the plate, that should have been called. So I'm gonna kind of give the Rays a pass a little bit, but it is frustrating. The offensive performance in the first game of this series was not great. We are yet to see if they will have an improved offensive performance today. I would like to believe that we're going to get a little bit more offense, But we'll have to see. It's just so important, like you said, to get a getaway game, to not get swept, to just to try to keep momentum, not completely cratering, get into the next series. We've played well against Houston so far. Just get to that next series and try not to let the momentum completely just fall out of the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's a tough thing. Like it's sort of just hammering your head against the wall, like just hit better with runners in scoring position and like that kind of attitude. It's always difficult to kind of put that on scene because, you know, obviously no one's going up there trying to hit like crap, especially in big moments. You know, they're all trying their best, but it's just, you know, it's this time of year. It's the home stretch. You know, we're coming towards the end of the season, and that's just unfortunately how it is. You know, you can keep talking about like, oh, it's just luck. Well, at the end of the year, it's 162 games, and the Rays might end up about around 500 and miss the playoffs. So then, you know, that's the season. That's it. Yeah. There's no playoffs, you know. So it's a bit depressing, but, you know, just got to keep dealing with the punches. You know, hopefully the guys will keep their head up, you know, keep doing their thing. I'm really hopeful that Christopher Morel can turn things around. You know, maybe he can light a spark. His attitude's just really positive, upbeat. It seems like he's always got a smile on his face. Also really cool walk-up music, so the aura really high there. Not that really matters, but I'm really excited to see if he can maybe help turn things around, galvanize this offense, just, you know, get the vibes a little bit better, because it's been a bit disappointing, and obviously the clubhouse I'm sure is a bit down after losing this series to Baltimore. And if they get swept, oh man, that's going to be tough. But you know, they'll bounce back. Hopefully, like you said, they've played well against Houston, so maybe that'll be kind of a nice little upturn, give them some confidence, because Houston's also a good team. So, you know, beating them isn't a small task. It's no small thing. So, hopefully, even if they get swept by Baltimore today, they can bounce back in this Houston series for sure.
And part of the reason why, you know, not getting swept is so important is because when you look at the remainder of this season, there's only, for the Rays, only 46 games left, including today's game. Right now, the way things stand right now, the Royals, if they continue to win at the clip they're winning at, are likely going to end the season around 89 wins, which would mean that the Rays, in order to eclipse that, to get to 90 wins, would have to win 32 more games this season to get to that 90-win point, which means they can only lose 14 more games before they are not able to hit 90 wins. That's where getting a getaway game versus Baltimore at home is so important.
Absolutely.
It's where winning these series, these two home series against the Astros and D-backs, are so important. Because after that, you have a West Coast road trip at the A's, which you should win, but the going to the A's is always a mess. Then you go to the Dodgers, go to the Mariners, and then you're into September. So, and really, once you get to September, there's no more gimmies. There's no more. Every single team you play, except for maybe the Tigers, they may not be, but every single team you're going to play in September has a winning record. And almost all of them are playoff contenders or in the playoffs already. So, except for the Tigers. So you've got to try to get moving in the right direction now, because you just can't afford to lose series and get swept anymore, because you only got 14 losses before you're pretty much you're preying on the Royals' downfall at that point. And I would rather say let's you know, because again, I don't think if the Rays play well enough to get over the Royals, I think they make the playoffs. And I say that because they are playing the Twins 4 times, the Red Sox 6 times before the season's over. So those are two of the teams that are directly in front of them. And they're also playing the Mariners 3 times before the season is over. So the teams that are directly in front of them, along with obviously the Astros, who we play next week, we're playing them. So if we play well enough to get to 90 wins, I think we make the playoffs, because we'll also have beaten some of those teams in front of us right now to get there. The question is, can the team do it? Right now, gut feeling, do you think this team has 90 wins in them?
No, I hate to be negative Nancy. That's not a super fun thing to deal with or think fun thing to say. I think they'll probably hover either around 500. Maybe they'll get to 85 wins, which, hey, you never know. You know, 84 wins got the Diamondbacks in last year. Maybe we see some huge collapses from
it's
the
possible.
Yeah, for sure. Anything's possible. But yeah, if I had to, you know, gun to my head type of deal, probably no, probably not. It's just, it's tough. You know, they're just kind of dealing with a lot of changes. Obviously, you know, the pitching staff has been hurt the majority of the year, so they kind of had a lot of setbacks, you know, to start the season when it comes to just injuries and staying healthy. So it's kind of tough to come back from that, and they just haven't really been able to do so, unfortunately. They had a really nice run. They've had a really nice run over, you know, kind of June and July, like you mentioned, with the lack of series losses. But, you know, that's a tough thing to sustain for any ball club. And if anyone can do it, it's the Rays, but I just gut feeling probably not, unfortunately. But hopefully it does. You know, nobody will be more excited than I. And if they get into the playoffs, my goodness, that pitching staff's going to be able to carry them a little bit. So that could be a really tough matchup if they do sneak into the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I think they can do it. It's because I think the pitching will be good enough, especially as Springs gets, you know, more under his belt, as Boz gets more under his belt, as Taj continues to condition a little bit. We get Pepio back. Well, you still got Littell. The bullpen is kind of locked down recently, except for Poche having a bad inning. Really, like, it's been – bullpen's been elite recently. So I think the pitching is there. I think the question is, can the offense do enough?
Yeah,
that's the biggest question. And, you know – well, I may mention him a little bit during Bat of the Week later, but you need guys like Dylan Carlson, who put up a 177 WRC plus over the last week. You need Jose Caballero to do what he did. You need Johnny DeLuca, who's kind of turned it around a little bit and put up a 115 WRC plus over the last week. You need some of those guys. You need Curtis Meade to figure it out. You need Christopher Morel, as you said, to figure it out. And there's a lot of ifs there, but when you look up and down the lineup, yes, there's nobody outside of Yandy and Bilal that's like a certainty, and that's where we talk about the floor being lowered with Paredes moving on, with Randy moving on, the floor is lowered. But you look at guys like Morel, you look at Meade, you look at Josh Lowe, who is, you know, slowly turning it back around. You look at Jose Siri, who can be, you know, the ignition spark you need. You look at Dylan Carlson. There are guys on this roster who could do it. It's just a question of if they will. I think the answer of can they is yes. The question is, will they? And that's kind of the beauty of baseball. Is because we're gonna find out. We're gonna see it right over these next 46 games. And if we don't, there's a whole other season for next year. And it's sad. I was very bold predicting how well the Rays would do this year. I've obviously not been right about pretty much any of my predictions going into the year. I'm okay with that. It is what it is. At the same time, I'm not ready to give up on this team just yet, because I think they do have the guys that can do it. And I think it's going to be really fun to watch, because if they – let me put it this way. If they do make the playoffs, the ride of these next 46 games is going to be so much fun to watch, because it's going to be some guys who you're hoping are going to make the play, and then they do make the play. That could be really, really fun to watch. So I think it could be one of the funnest playoff chases in a while if we can get some good performances. It's just a question of – you know, will they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 2011 was a great time. I mean, that was such a fun time to be a Rays fan. So, you know, maybe they can cook up some of that magic. They can get Evan Longoria back in the building, you know, do a lot of fun stuff there. But, you know, it's like you said, either way, it's going to be a lot of fun, because I think if they do happen to miss out on the playoffs, that just means that there are going to be some interesting decisions that they have to make in the offseason. You know, maybe some roster construction is going to change. I don't know. And if they do make the playoffs, then, you know, get to watch playoff baseball, and they still might make those decisions because it's the Rays. They're always going to be doing things differently. So, yeah, I'm just really curious to see how it all plays out, but I'm really excited for this offseason, because I think it's just going to be really fascinating to watch what Eric Neander and all those front office executives decide to cook up.
Speaking of cooking, we've been cooking up this podcast for you for this last year, and we hope we've cooked up a really good meal for you guys every single week. if you feel that way, and if you feel so inclined, you could pop on over to the Best of the Bay and vote for us to win the best podcast. You can vote once a day if you'd like. It would mean the world to us if you've enjoyed the show, if you've liked hearing us talk about sports, if you've liked the other amazing shows on this network, you've enjoyed all of that. If you would do us a huge favor and just hop over to Best of the Bay, vote for us under Best Podcast, would mean the world to us.
Yeah, it's under the entertainment section as well. We've got that link pinned to the RBLR Sports Twitter. Definitely check it out. And if you've, you know, they've got some crazy categories on there. I don't know if you've looked through them. They've got like the best strip club DJ. It's really funny. It's
Isn't there another? There's another category. I think there's one called Best Sports Writer as well out there. And the guy to my digital right or left, I'm not sure actually, is also up for voting there. So if you enjoy Carter, which you should because he's awesome, you can also vote for Carter under Best Sports Writer at Best of the Bay as well. You can also do that once a day. Would mean the world to us.
I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely check it out. And Creative Loafing's got great stuff all over their site too. So definitely check them out as well. Got to shout out my boys Ray and Colin. They always do you right. So definitely check it out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna do one of my favorite segments every single week: Bat and Arm of the Week. Carter, start us off. And we're in consensus this week. So who is our Bat of the Week?
It's Brandon Lau. Yeah, it's Brandon Lau, my man. I know he's your favorite player. He's been so great all year. I mean, it's just been really fantastic to watch him go out there, do his thing. Been one of the best, if not for freaking Ketel Marte just being like otherworldly, I think Brandon Lau would be a legitimate in the conversation for best second baseman in baseball right now. But unfortunately, you know, Ketel Marte just ridiculous this year. So, but still, Brandon Lau, very, very good. Definitely top three production wise at that position. And this was just another great week for him. You know, he's just hitting bombs and he's staying healthy. That's the big thing for him. It has been. If he's healthy, he's great. And he's been healthy this year, so he's been great. So, yeah, he's been really exciting. You got anything else on Brandon Lau, our bat of the week?
Yeah, I mean, seeing a healthy Brandon Lau over the last 50, 60 games has just been so great to see. And he is hitting right now to 141 WRC plus on the year, which if he maintains that through the end of the season would be his highest single season WRC plus in his career, which is crazy to say when he hit. Well, that's not actually true. He 2021, he hit for 140, 151, but that was a short season, so I don't count it. Full season. That'd be his highest WRC plus in a full season. And what I was getting to say before I interrupted myself, because I misread the stats, he hit almost 40 home runs 1 year, and this would still be better according to weighted runs created, which is my favorite stat. Which if you don't know, if you hear me say weighted runs created WRC plus, it's essentially a stat that looks at the runs being created throughout, you know, not only in the sense of actually RBIs and things like that, but also taking into account park factors, taking into account who he's doing it against from a pitching perspective and assigning value to that, similar to the way we look at wins above replacement. We look at it similarly with WRC plus. It gives us a really good sense of the value of that they're providing. I always like to go back on that because I remember when I was first getting started diving deeper into baseball stats, people just throw stats out there. I didn't know what they meant. Short story, Brandon Lau's been really, really good since he's been back, since he's been healthy. He's been performing really, really well. He's up to 2F4 in the season, doing really, really well. I'm also going to give a shout-out to Dylan Carlson last week. Had a really nice week, 177 WRC+, plus, a home run, three RBIs, really nice week from him. If he can continue to play that way as well, along with a guy like Brandon Lau, along with Josh Lowe, having some lefty thump in the lineup would be very much appreciated.
Yeah, I love Dylan Carlson. He was my favorite acquisition of the trade deadline just because I'm a big switch hitter fan. And he's just, you know, he had a rough stretch in St. Louis. He wasn't really given a huge amount of opportunity because he was just banged up a lot. And then they had a lot of other outfielders that they wanted to give playing time to. So I think he was a huge change of scenery candidate for me. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in a Rays uniform, you know, maybe. Yeah. Just camp out in one of those corners, maybe be a Randy replacement for next season. I don't know. We'll get into that. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about Dylan Carlson's future, especially in a Rays uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on from B. Lau, we're going to talk about another guy. You mentioned that Brandon Lau was – he's my favorite player. Another guy that is slowly becoming one of my favorite players is our arm of the week, and that's Edwin Uceda, who just continues to be my favorite pitcher. I'm not going to say he's the best pitcher on the Rays right now, but he is – I enjoy watching his outings the most out of anybody right now. Over the last week, three innings pitched, no earned runs given up, no walks given, which is a huge thing for me. I really love to see no walks, because walks are the genesis of all evil when it comes to the when it comes to run scoring being allowed. You do not want guys in the base paths for free. He's not letting anybody on base for free. His FIP is once again minuscule, 0.51, 0.2 F4 over the last week. It was a rough week for the starter. So when you look at arm of the week, there's not a whole lot of great options out there. Uceda is a great option. He just pitched another scoreless inning today. Uceda is our arm of the week. He's just been really good. He's the in my opinion, the funnest arm to watch in the bullpen right now.
Yeah, I mean, him and Emrod have both just been,
yes,
you know, it's same or different year, same story, or same story, different year with the Rays. You know, they just found another seemingly random arm to the general public, myself included, but obviously to them, they know what they're doing, so it's not random at all to them. Uceda has been nails. You know, he's just he looks like an uncomfortable at bat, truth be told. He's got a lot of funkiness going on with his delivery, and like you mentioned, his command has been phenomenal. You know, not walking a lot of guys, and yeah, I'll be really interested to see how his role kind of morphs as the season has gone on, because I think when he first came up, you know, they called him up sort of as kind of a replacement for Davinsky, Devo. They were kind of thinking of Uceda as a more of a, you know, mop up guy, kind of a punt kind of guy. But now he might be a high leverage arm at this point. He's been so good. So he's been a lot of fun to watch. He's just been brilliant out there.
Yeah, he basically got Sean Armstrong traded to the Cardinals.
Right.
Because not only did he take Davinsky's role, he then took Armstrong's role and is now looking for more. He's a guy who can go multiple innings. It remains to be seen if he'll go multiple innings today. But he's a guy that can go multiple innings. Just really, really fun. Love the funky kind of sidearm delivery he has. Uncomfortable is a great way to put it. I do want to shout out Emrod a little bit more too. One thing I really like this week, three appearances this week, 75% ground ball rate.
Ooh.
Love to see that. Keep the ball on the ground, keep it out of the air. You're going to get good results. So Emrod, who knows? We might see Emrod as an arm of the week some week in the future. Who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a Ted Williams quote. You're not going to hit any home runs by hitting the ball on the ground. That was that's always one of my favorite quotes in baseball. So yeah, I mean, having a high ground ball rate, it's never going to be a bad thing. That's for dang sure.
And many terrible high school coaches have destroyed their players' swings with that quote plastered on their wall.
Yep.
But anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say, we're going to finally get to the segment I've been teasing all show, which is 2025. We've talked a lot about what this season's going to look like, what our playoff potential is, what we could be looking at for the rest of the season. But we're kind of getting towards the end of the year now, and we thought it'd be a good time to start looking a little bit as kind of a way too early preview of what are some things that could happen the 2025 offseason that you either might not see coming or might see coming. What are some things, Carter, that you're looking at as we go into the 2025 offseason?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about them throughout this episode, but Brandon Lau obviously has been so good this year. At the beginning of the season, I was genuinely concerned because he has a player option for next season.
Yeah.
And I think it's 10.5 million, somewhere around that range. I was a little concerned. I was like, man, if he continues to unfortunately get hurt, which not blaming him, not any, you know, no fault of his own, but it's just, you know, you got to be pragmatic. You got to be realistic. And if a guy's not playing and that's how much money you're going to have to pay him, then, you know, probably not going to pick that option up. But now the Rays picking that option up, hammering that. And then I'll be curious to see if they hold on to him. Maybe if they, I mean, they're always looking, you know, they're always dealing, they're always doing stuff. So I'd be curious to see how Brandon Lau's situation plays out. Obviously would love to see him stay in a Rays uniform. But his value, I think, is just going to be sky high this offseason. Especially because there's just not, you know, free agency is not always very fruitful. You know, you're always going to have to overpay for players, and there's not really a lot of great options out there this offseason. And there's no, he's one of the best hitting second basemen in the league. So, you know, if you're looking for a replacement at that position, which I think, I mean, a lot of teams are going to be, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. Maybe we could be seeing the Rays making another big move, sort of an Isak Paredes type of move in the offseason, but in this case for Brandon Lau. I'll just be really excited to see how it all plays out.
It is very interesting because when you look at the free agent class for this coming offseason, it is not pretty, except for the top two, which I think are quite pretty, in perhaps the best player in baseball right now with Juan Soto being a free agent, assuming the Yankees do not re-sign him, and a very interesting player in Willy Adames being a free agent. You do not get 3 to 4 war, I don't want to say bat first, but like bat and glove, both pretty good shortstops hitting the free agent market. It does not happen very often. Willy Adames has, since he's left Tampa, and even while he was with Tampa, but even more so since he's, you know, been with the Brewers for a little while now, he's just been really good. He's not been MVP level, which is what we thought we were trading him away to, you know, kind of make way for, but he's been really, really good. So those are the two guys that are kind of heading up the free agent class. After that, not much to look at. So you do make a good point about Brandon Lau potentially being a you know, some trade bait out there being really valuable. You could also look at it from the perspective of Junior Caminero been playing mostly second base over the last, you know, 2 to 3 months in the minor leagues. It almost seems like maybe that's the direction that they might be moving to move him to second base to get him more at bats. It could be the case. The reason I don't think it's the case is because when you look at the way this team is constructed right now, because you moved on from Isak Paredes, because you moved on from Randy Rosarena, because Josh Lowe has not had the year two that we would like right now, you kind of got Yandy and Bilal that you can pencil in as these guys are good. We know these guys can anchor the offense. Once you get past them, it's a lot of, well, they might be, well, they could be. Mead, yeah, he could be. Morrell, yeah, he could be. Dylan Carlson, yeah, he could be. Not a lot of certainty. Sure. And as good as the offense is going to be, as good as the starting pitching and bullpen is going to be next year, doesn't seem to me like it makes a whole lot of sense to move on from a guy that can anchor your offense in a year when you're going to be able to, I think, kind of, I don't want to say go for it, but you have a really good chance because of the value your pitching staff is going to be able to bring you. So I don't think they move on from him. That being said, as we know, the Rays listen on everybody. And you make a good point about the market out there, because it's, could somebody call Eric Neander and say, hey, we'd like to massively overpay you for Brandon Lau.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
If somebody calls him and says that, he's going to say, yes, I will take your stuff that you right. are not valuing properly for this one really good player.
For sure.
He will do that. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I imagine the value that the Rays place on Brandon Lau is even higher than maybe some other teams do, because yeah, he's just maybe. Really, really good. And maybe not even other teams, but the public, I would say, if you watch teams play Brandon Lau, you can tell what they think of him
because
of the way that they pitch to him. Absolutely. So I think other orgs know what Brandon Lau is, but I think from a fan perspective, most fans don't know that they don't value him as much as I think other orgs do, which is why I don't think he's moved. I think if Brandon Lau was as good as the average fan thinks he was, he would have got traded at the deadline because somebody would have offered them enough. But in my opinion, the way that he's valued makes him very hard to trade for, and that's why he hasn't been moved. Because his value is really, really high. Because right now, he's like next year, he's going to get paid about $10 million a year. Most people assign about somewhere between $4 and $6 million per win above replacement for a player. Brandon Lau is going to be pretty comfortably averaging 3 to 4 to 5 war a season. So you're getting a massive, you know, massive underpay for the value he's providing. So those guys don't grow on trees, especially at second base, especially with that kind of power. So it's going to be a steep price to get him. That being said, if somebody wants to pay a steep price, the Rays would probably take it. And I think as much as it would make me very, very sad, I would probably end up being happy with it because the value you'd have to get back to trade away Brandon Lau would be so high.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like you said, he's one of the best hitters on, he's the best hitter on the Rays club at this point. And it would be difficult to trade him away, but I really do think that other teams value him so highly that I think that the likelihood of another team sending a King's ransom for him is pretty high. Because like you said, I mean, after Soto and Adames, it's maybe Bellinger if he opts out, maybe Matt Chapman if he opts out, but you know, their free agency last year was so weird. I don't know that it plays out that much differently this year because they've both had solid seasons, but I don't think that they're having, you know, the type of seasons that you can parlay into a long-term, you know, huge deal that they were probably seeking. Yeah. So I think they either stay put or maybe they sign another type of pillow contract. But yeah, I mean, after Soto and Adames, like we said, it gets thin. So instead of maybe overpaying for, say, Cody Bellinger or Matt Chapman, then maybe you trade for Brandon Lau, dip into your prospect pool a little bit, and you get a second baseman that's ridiculous. So I could see it, but I would be totally, completely satisfied with the Rays hanging on to him, obviously. Like, that would be great. It seems like, you know, it's hard to predict what the Rays are going to do, but this seems like a very kind of crazy thing to do. But fortunately, the good news is both for the Rays trading partners and the Rays themselves, he has another club option after this year. So even if the Rays decide to keep him and he has another amazing year, then the Rays can turn around and say, oh, well, you know, maybe we deal in this next season, you know, in 2025 to 2026. So they have options, even if they hold on to him. It's not like they have to let him go. Either way, it's going to be a huge win for the Rays because they'll either have Brandon Lau or they'll have a group of prospects that another team valued as much as Brandon Lau, which is going to be super high. So either way, it's a win.
Is there anyone else that you think would be a surprise, but that the Rays could potentially move off of in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, with McClanahan coming back, with Bradley being as good as he's been, I think that starting pitchers are maybe – there's someone that maybe gets dealt. Littell has been fantastic this year. So maybe another team values him pretty highly and the Rays say, well, you know, we've got McClanahan coming back. We're going to have still Boz and Bradley. And I don't know. It's kind of something to monitor with him. Pete Fairbanks is another guy that it's going to be a really interesting name to look at in the offseason. Typically, you know, I feel like relievers mostly get dealt during the season because, you know, relief pitching is always so highly coveted at the trade deadline. So maybe the Rays decide to wait it out a little bit. But, you know, with Rasmussen coming back, I don't think that Rasmussen necessarily has a spot in the rotation. So maybe they decide to move him to the bullpen and just change it into just kind of transform him into just like a high leverage relief arm. And they've got, you know, Uceda and Emrod and Colin Poche is going to still be there. So they've just got so many really fantastic bullpen arms that, you know, if another team values Fairbanks super highly and the Rays don't want to necessarily pay for Pete Fairbanks' salary, unfortunately, that's just part of things. That's part of the way that the Rays that do things. And maybe they use that as a reason to pay for another big time free agent. I don't know. But regardless, Fairbanks is another name that I would be really interested to see monitored because he was almost dealt at this deadline. So, yeah. You know, maybe they decided to wait until the offseason, give him another half season to go out there and shove. And you know, they decide to up his value even more in the offseason. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's the Rays. You never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, the only reason I think that this is going to be my prediction for this offseason is a little bit different. And it's not just because of, you know, the way that the roster looks right now. It's also because of the way the Rays system looks right now. Mm-hmm. I think the Rays may add more than we expect in this offseason. The reason I say that is because the Rays minor league system is bursting at the seams right now.
Yeah.
There are not enough places to put all these guys. When you talk about the draft picks, when you talk about the trade acquisitions, there's just not enough places to put all these guys that we brought on. It's going to be some hard decisions being made. It's full up right now. So I wonder if maybe some of these, you know, maybe some of the guys we're talking about do get traded, but I think it could be less of Pete Fairbanks is traded for a bunch of prospects and more of Pete Fairbanks is traded for a lefty power bat or a righty power bat, you know, honestly, along with some prospects. I think that might be the move. I think that I'm going to say this, and I might look like completely stupid when we get there, and you can call me crazy. Wander, let's say his name. His contract is probably going to be done pretty soon because it's not looking good. he's going to be off the books. You just opened a new stadium. You got a lot of goodwill. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a really, really good player to play along with Junior Caminero, with Carson Williams, who doesn't compete with them for a position? That would be really, really, really fun to watch when your stadium opens. Is there perhaps a player of that caliber available this offseason?
Right.
There is. The problem is he's going to cost probably $60 million a year,
yeah,
or maybe $50 million a year in Juan Soto. And sure, wouldn't it just make you feel good in somewhere inside to take him from the Yankees? It would make me feel really, really good. Yeah. I'm not even predicting that it's going to happen, but I am telling you they're going to be in on him. And we know that he's in on, we know the Rays are usually in on just about everybody, but do not be surprised when you see the Rays make a significant offer to him. Not only because of just a kind of offer on everybody, but I think there may be some oomph behind this offer, because it's like, what if we get this guy for 10 years to kind of replace Five as the cornerstone guy, along with the up and coming Junior Caminero? Wouldn't it be nice to have some line of protection for him? Wouldn't that be nice? Brandon Lau on one side, or, you know, Juan Soto on one side, Brandon Lau on the other, just some nice cushion for the young guy. Wouldn't that be nice? I think it's not impossible. I just think it's highly improbable, but it's not impossible. And do not be surprised. I'm going to say this now. Do not be surprised when you see the Rays make a very competitive offer this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, they're always in on everyone. They're always going to submit competitive offers. It's improbable, just because they have a very staunch approach to free agency. They're not going to overpay how they value someone, which means you're probably not going to sign very many free agents, because free agents are always going to command more than what they're worth. That's just unfortunately how it works. So it's improbable, but man, it'd be exciting. And you know, the Rays do have that built-in advantage, the no state income tax. Maybe Juan Soto looks at the numbers like that, and he's like, huh, well, you know, things are kind of interesting that way. But he also seems to really love New York. He's had such a great year there. The fans seem to really enjoy him, and he loves the spotlight and all that stuff. So it depends on how the season finishes. It'll be really funny if the Yankees get like bounced in the first round. You know, Yankees Twitter and the fandom just like melts, and they're, you know, yelling at everyone. Maybe Soto has a crappy 3-game wild card or ALDS or whatever. That would be hilarious. And then Juan Soto leaves, and then, you know, panic ensues. So I hope it happens. Obviously, I mean, I'm buying the jersey. I already made a deal with our little group chat. I'm Venmoing everyone $20 if Juan Soto ends up in a raging affair. Yes. And that's true. I will be a man of my word. I will gladly type in all y'all's Venmo's tags and send.
It's like half a jersey right there.
That'd be great. There you go. Right, exactly. But hey, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something to think about. With the new stadium, the Royals, you know, they were looking to vote on a new seat and get some new funding, so they kind of spent a little money in this offseason. Maybe the Rays do that same thing. Maybe even if it's not Juan Soto, maybe they spend a little bit of money, more money than they've ever spent in free agency, on more complimentary players, and it turns out to be better than if they just signed Juan Soto. I don't know. I'm not going to be that bold, but you know, I'm still really excited. It's only good things. You know, there are only going to be good things this offseason for the Rays, because there are always only ever good things for them with that front office. But yeah, Juan Soto, you know, with Christopher Morel, man, that'd be a really exciting lineup. I mean, that's just a lot of pop. That's a lot more power than I think the Rays have probably ever had. So that's very exciting for sure.
If you need some power for your wardrobe, ooh, and you're wondering where you could get it, I've got a location for you. It is shop.rblrsports.com, where you've got stuff for the Rowdies, the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rays, the best sports teams out there, the best of the Bay, right there on shop.rblrsports.com. And if you go there right now and you type in promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, you will get 10% off all of that amazing merch right there. Get some power, inject it into your clothing lineup at shop.rblrsports.com. Promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Juan Soto of wardrobe options right there for sure. I mean, if you're looking for something like that, definitely check it out for sure.
Speaking of ejecting some power, we talked a lot about him on the podcast today. Dylan Carlson just singled and scored a run, and the game is tied. Man on second, Johnny DeLuca with a chance to be a hero. Leading off today in a very interesting Kevin Cash decision. I'm fascinated. Yeah, it's very interesting. He has not been terrible as well. So I'm intrigued. He's 1-for-3 today with a stolen base. We'll see. Anything else? Any other things you wanted to discuss? You mentioned your favorite acquisition of the deadline was Dylan Carlson. Anything else you want to share before we wrap it up this week?
No, I mean, just Dylan Carlson might turn out to be the greatest player in Rays history, you know, no big deal or anything. I am really curious to see, I know we kind of touched on him a little bit, how Christopher Morel plays defense, like where they put him. Cause my goodness, he's rough to watch sometimes and he's got some awful metrics out there pretty much wherever he plays. So maybe they'll give him an off season to figure out a corner spot. Yeah, maybe he'll just end up DHing. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how all that plays out because he's played a little bit of third, hasn't had a lot of success there. I don't love putting a guy like that at second. So hopefully they just kind of stick him in left field and say, hey, man, go figure it out this offseason. He'll play in a winter league. But, yeah, that's all I really got for this episode for sure.
Well, that's all we've got, except I've got one more thing, and that's to say thank you for all of you that are here that have watched through the show. We really appreciate you guys. If you enjoyed, do us a huge favor. Like we mentioned, if you want to do us the biggest favor, go and vote for us on Best of the Bay. But if you want to do us a slightly not as big favor, but still a huge favor, like and subscribe, follow us on the social so you know when we're going live like we did today. So you know when, you know, the best Rays podcast ever is coming out. Do us a huge favor. Like, subscribe, follow. It means the world to us. We're going to do everything we can to bring you the best Rays show every single week. And we just hope that you're there to witness it every time it comes out. But that's going to be all for us today. We really appreciate everybody joining us. It's going to be a wild ride to end the season. Don't know how it's going to end. Don't know if it's going to end in the postseason. But we're going to be there every step of the way. And we're going to be saying raise up the whole time.
Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.